Now we full gospel folk, Pentecostal folk, or whatever we are.
Amen.
I trust we're in the bride of Christ.
Yes. Amen.
We have our own little preconceived notion about Bible teaching and about preaching. And so I hope that I don't disappoint you too much, to say the least. Hallelujah. Amen. Enjoyed the singing. Your pastor is a marvelous minister in the area of music. Amen. And I believe it is no mistake that the Lord has brought him to the kingdom for such a time as this. And your pastor's wife is a marvel to me. Her abilities that God has helped her with. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Turn with me now. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Psalms 107. I'm going to read a portion of this passage, probably down to verse 8. And then I'm going to center my attention and try to lead your mentality, your mental processes, in the avenues that are suggested in this tremendous passage of Scripture. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the land from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let us be with bowed heads and closed eyes, our God and Father Jesus. We are so thankful for this time of worship and praise tonight. We appreciate, Lord God, how that Your hand has been so heavily upon us. We pray now, God, that You'll direct our minds and hearts together. And let us sit together, I pray tonight, O Lord, in the great inspiration of Your word. Let it live again. Let the power of this message, O God, be supported and be an anointed hearer as well as an anointed speaker. These things, Father, we pray for Thy glory, we pray it. And everyone said amen. Praise God. I'm interested tonight to deal with the tremendous truth involved in giving thanks unto the Lord. And I think that it's vital to us to recognize how important it is that we give ourselves to a time of vocal praise unto the God that redeemed us in the fashion that He has redeemed us. I know that your pastor has done a fabulous job in directing your heart toward the idea of praise. But we Americans still have not caught the concept. And we've not recognized the truth involved in this tremendous and marvelous subject. And I pray that God tonight would lead us a little closer, possibly through the vehicle of this message. Direct our minds in a very deep-seated process that we could be elevated into His glorious and marvelous will and His tremendous path in progressive praise. Everything we do is worship. Worship is a strange, unique word, all-encompassing, all-inclusive word of all Christian service and life. Worship is called strange things in the Bible. Abraham told the servants that had gone with him with his son Isaac to Mount Moriah. He said, "Y'all wait here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." He called the taking the life of his son worship. You see, worship is called strange things in the Bible. But you'll find that there's an aspect of worship that is known as vocal praise. Worship is given expression, it is given vent through the lips of believers as they praise God and magnify Him with their mouths. Rather, the Hebrews called it, "Let us offer unto Him, or by Him, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Continually unto God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Saints of God, there is no way to describe what could happen in this place tonight if everybody in here would praise the Lord. Now, a lot of the things that I shall say have been said so much that they seem almost trite. But if we could ever grasp this concept and practice the praise and presence of God, it would be unspeakable what could happen in our midst. I've never forgotten how that Brother Harry Sism made a testimony to me, one of the greatest missionaries I've ever met, born and raised practically in the mission field. Well, he was 12 years of age when he was taken to India. And raised from that point in his life until even now when he's pushing 50 years of age, a missionary all of his life practically. He sat in my living room not too long ago, well, 10 years ago it was, and said, "Brother Sharp, I shall never be able to pastor a church in America." I said, "Brother Sism, why?" He said, "For I have been in the Indian work too long to ever reside and to ever give up the explosive, spontaneous worship of those Indian people." He said, "We Americans have far too much and are so ungrateful." And he said, "Our selfishness is seen in our lack of demonstration to God." He said, "The Indian people have very little. As a matter of fact," he said, "they have almost nothing." He said, "They'll come to the church that has no floor in it." And he says, "They'll bring their little homemade instruments, little drums and guitars and little tambourines and instruments of rhythm that they've made out of bamboo and rawhide and string. And they'll bring it into the church of the living God, and he'll meet 3 or 4 hours before services to start. And he said, it's not long until they're singing in their little way glorious choruses unto God. And he said, the Spirit will come down in a flooding and inundating way and consume their sacrifice of praise. And he says, I've seen it 100 times over. They'll be caught up as it were in a trance. And for hours, they'll dance and praise and magnify God." He said, "Cancers fall off on the floor. Devils are run out of the building. The power of God is everywhere. It's the most unspeakable thing." He said, "Miracles are regular in India." Saints of God, it's so uncanny and so ironic. But we who have so much to praise God for, praise Him so little. Isn't it unspeakable? Even while I speak tonight, it's difficult for us to get our hands out of our pockets, to get our arms up, magnify the Lord in fullness. A preacher friend of mine came back from South Korea after having experienced a tremendous time of crusade and revival. He'd gotten up that night in the great Korean meeting, and he'd asked the people to raise their hands and praise the Lord. And they raised their hands and began to praise the Lord. He stepped back, being accustomed to a Southeastern American church. expecting them to conclude their praise in a matter of a couple minutes. But 15 minutes later, the place was roaring with praise. He said he nudged the preacher that was with him, another American preacher from Mississippi, and he said the windows in that place were literally dancing and vibrating under the dynamic of their praise. And the interpreter turned to the preacher and said, "Do you intend to preach tonight?" He said, "Well, yes, I do." He said, "You better ring the bell here that's on the pulpit desk." For he said, "If you do not change this arrangement and this order, these people will be praising just like this at 5 o'clock in the morning." Glory be to God! The brother said, "I was standing there when they brought a man with a malignant tumor on the side of his head as big as his head. It had pushed his head over to the side, and this huge, grotesque, unspeakable tumor was bulged down right under his ear, an unbelievable growth." He said, "I approached him when the brother was with me, and in the name of Jesus, in the power of that praise, that thing disappeared under my hand. Glory be to God." If we want God in fullness, we must give Him full recognition. Amen. We have never yet reached that plateau. We have never yet reached that place where inhibited and unbound and unfettered and loose and free in the beauty and power of praise, we would soar into worlds unknown and walk down avenues unspeakable and approach the throne of God Himself and pour our delicious odors out in His presence, that His nostrils may receive them and the power of God could be exchanged and interchanged with our lives and in our lives. Glory be to God. Can you say amen? I wouldn't hurt my feelings if you'd say amen. Hallelujah. Don't say amen to preaching. I'll say amen to my own preaching. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord desires that we love Him. That low down, hideous, heinous monster, that corruptible, unspeakable, demonic pole from the underworld, that low-down sleuth foot that etched and inched his way infiltrating the religious circles of our world with the idea that quiet is reverend, that all of this unspeakable, lonesome, solitary, untouchable quiet is holy, to enter into the house of God and sit still and say silent prayers and do silent things. That low-down, stinking devil has robbed the church of its power and victory, has robbed the church of its glory and its enthusiasm. You let any church get quiet, and their victory goes out the door. Noise is not synonymous to praise, but praise is noisy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not interested in worked up rhythmic praises. I'm not interested in people dancing to the rhythm of the music. I'm not interested in psychological emotional hysteria. I'm not interested in the things that go on in a lot of places, but I am interested, and we must have a spontaneous praise that flows from the seat of our soul, that flows out of our heart, and raises and lifts and exalts the name of our Most High God. Of our praise. He's worthy of our praise.
My scripture says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Who can be better, or who is of any greater degree of goodness than our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. He's been so kind and so merciful to us again. We have gathered in the house of God for years, and He has come along. We've not always honored Him, and many times we've grieved Him, and a lot of times we've insulted Him, but He didn't give up on us. He kept coming back again, and He said, if I could ever get their attention, and if I can ever center in and zero into their heart, I may reach that point in their soul that will contact their spiritual responses to me. And if I can ever elevate them and lift them to a pinnacle of praise just one time, they'll be a different kind of new people from that point on. And we've come in biting our fingernails and chewing our bubble gum. We've come in talking about the PTO and the PTA and the ladies' aid and the lemonade. We've come in talking about barbecue and this queue and that queue and somebody else's queue. We've come in talking about deer hunting and fishing and camping. And we've come in and talking about this and talking about that. And we drift through the song service and go to sleep in the testimony meeting and yawn through the preaching and birth while all the call is given and get up and go to McDonald's and have a big time and come alive and resurrect. And when we get through with all of that, we go back home and have never really been changed nor moved upon to any degree nor any influence. There's been nothing transact. There's been nothing go on. There's been nothing done. And we live from one year to the next on the same level, upon the same echelon, on the same plateau. No spiritual growth, no depth, nothing there at all to make it what God wants it to be. And we grieved Him. He's tried to come in, and we got busy talking about something else. He's tried to move, and every now and then He gets in one leg. Pardon my poor choice of illustration, but He gets in maybe one arm, and we feel a little of His sensation and a little of His praise, and we feel a little of His glory and a little of His victory and a little of His influence and a little of His presence, but never has He ever gotten our 100% attention. He doesn't have everybody's attention now. I'm down here in front looking you right in the eye, doing my best to lead you into an avenue of thought that may provoke you into good works. Hallelujah to God! The Lord is here again tonight. He's come again. That same rock that followed Moses in the wilderness has followed us in this place again tonight. That same glorious God has come again. Hallelujah to God. He's come to woo. He's come to plead. He's come to prod. He's come to convict. He's come to penetrate. He's come to beckon. He's come to beg, if you please. If any man will open the door. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. There's nobody that good. Now, if you did me like you've done God, I would give up on you a long time ago. I know when I'm not wanted. Don't you? When you go someplace and you're not welcome, you don't stay long, do you? And you don't probably go back, do you? Hallelujah. But I know when I'm welcome. Don't you? Now, Lord, you can come down tonight, and we're going to praise you a little bit, but we've got to leave at 8:42. Amen. Got to get up and go to work in the morning. This and that and 100 million other things. My Lord, have mercy. When will we ever learn just to forget it all? And if we're dancing and worshiping God when daylight comes, don't you dare worry about getting tired the next day. My God has a supply of energy that you've never tapped yet. Hallelujah to God! And if God's people could ever understand what it will be when they really praise Him, when they really magnify Him, when they exalt His presence. Hallelujah! Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. I said His mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad He's merciful? If He hadn't been merciful, I'd already been dead. If He hadn't been merciful, I'd already been in the grave. If He hadn't been merciful, I wouldn't even know Him. If He hadn't been merciful, I couldn't even find my way out of here tonight. Thank God for His mercy. Hallelujah! Oh, that sweet, loving God has come back to intrigue. He's come back to provoke. He's come back to penetrate. He's come back in His marvelous approach to reach our hearts again. Hallelujah to God. Let Him make love to you tonight, would you? Let Him woo the cockles of your heart. Let Him strum the deep, unspeakable fathoms of your soul. Let Him reach the recesses of your heart. Let Him touch you tonight. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Hallelujah. I believe the psalmist David had something on this business of praise. Am I too loud on this thing? If I am, raise your hanky. I'll lay it down. The psalmist David said in Psalm 7 and 17, I'll praise the Lord according to His righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Now I want you to get something tonight. We don't praise the Lord because of rhythm. We don't praise the Lord because of a fast beat. Now, I get kind of frustrated about people. The only time they get excited about the Lord is when the quartet's singing, I'll Fly Away. I get kind of frustrated when people praise the Lord only while the music is playing when the saints go marching in. Amen. I kind of question their motive and their incentive. Maybe I shouldn't, but I do. I may not have a spirit of discernment. Maybe it's the spirit of suspicion. But nevertheless, it's kind of suspecting to me to recognize that's the only time they get happy enough to praise the Lord. The psalmist said, I'll praise the Lord according to His righteousness. Hallelujah. That means when there isn't any music, hallelujahs are flowing right out of your soul. That means when there isn't any organized religion, when you're out yonder on the back side of the desert somewhere, when the devil is dogging your trail, when there's a jackal in every closet and a skeleton rattling in every room, when there's a Nicene fiend on every wall, when there's an unspeakable phantom lurking on every current, when there's a low-down demonic influence in every breath of atmosphere, I say glory to God anyway. That's when I praise the Lord. I praise Him according to His righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. You see, the Hebrews didn't know anything about the law of comparison, the comparative degree that we've got in our English grammar. You know, a lot of we Southern folk don't use it just right. I get amused that it's only laughing with you, not at you. Beloved Southern folks will talk about that's the mainest thing, you know. And they'll say, I've got to take three tests tomorrow. Dad's out putting fence posters in the ground. Amen. I get amused at all of that, but I guess that's all right. I know what you're talking about, so I guess you're communicating. That's all that's important. Amen. Amen. That's the mainest thing. I almost got myself. I've been here so long, I almost said it myself. Amen. The Hebrews didn't know anything about that. They didn't have any comparative degree. So when the translators made this tremendous verse what it is. They used the superlative case to establish the level of the God of Israel. I will praise the name of the Lord much high, more high, most high. Everybody say praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me, saints. If that little Buddha man will fold himself up like an accordion and sit over there somewhere in Thailand or Vietnam or Indonesia or someplace like that and pour gasoline on his head and set himself a bonfire and burn himself to death in demonstration for his religion and his rights and his God. And if that little Hindu woman will take her healthiest child, not her sickly one, but her healthiest son, out to the Ganges River on the holy day of the Hindus and throw that boy to the alligators in a supreme worship to the Hindu god. And if that little Mohammedan boy will sell everything he has to make one trip to Mecca and bow over in that great mosque of holiness and kiss the black stone called the Kaaba as the highest form of Mohammedan worship. And if that little Mormon man will sell his living and make everything come to his demand according to his power and ability to make one trip to Salt Lake City to worship in the high holy temple under that little angel, what is his name, Moroni? If they'll do that, and if the Catholic man will give all of his life savings to make one trip to St. Peter's Square in the Vatican at Rome, so that six stories up in St. Peter's Basilica, that the Holy Father of the Roman Church can throw a little holy water out in thousands of people and bless them in their ritual and in their ceremony. Why in the name of God can't we, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled, lovely, sanctified folks, lift up our hands and magnify the name of the Lord Most High? Hallelujah. The name of the Lord, Most High, Most High. He's not just one God among three. He is the very God of very God. He is the supreme deity. Oh, hallelujah. When I speak that wonderful name, and I love my Trinitarian brethren, God love their hearts, but I share a truth tonight. I'm not making issues out of it. I'm not grinding axes. It's a beautiful, liberating truth to me. And you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. But I'm going to shout about it. And I'm going to run the aisles about it. Glory be to God! For when I say the name of the Lord Most High, I don't say three names or titles. I don't say three of this or three of that. I say one name, and that sums it up. Jesus said, I am the Almighty. Aren't you glad you know the name? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. My pastor is a unique man, to say the least. He has memorized the entire New Testament. He could stand right here tonight and quote it to you. Matthew through the Revelation. Never miss a man, an or, a comma. You stop him and give him a 7-up. He got through. He'd take up where he left off and go right on. He can quote the entire book of Psalms and Proverbs. He can quote all of Isaiah and all most of the minor prophets. He's just about got the Old Testament except the genealogies. They call him, in his circles, the walking Bible. In his lifetime ministry, he's made a study of the titles of deity. And to this date, he has found 1,295 titles for deity. He has organized the message that takes 7 days to preach. It's called The Incomparable Christ. And in that message, he quotes in alphabetical order 1,295 titles for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the 2,250 verses to back all of his quotations up. Unspeakable, to say the least. Unique, to say the least. Nevertheless, he sums it all up, and when he gets to the summary, I'm walking the backs of the benches about that time. He says, now to sum it all up, if I don't know just exactly what I need, or I don't have enough intelligence to categorize the various complexities of my life, he said, I can find all of those 1,295 titles in one name. Hallelujah to God. He says, if I'm confused about it, I just say Jesus. And that sums it all up and brings every one of those glorious ministries to my need. Praise the Lord. I praise the name of the Lord most high. Psalms 9:11 says, sing praises unto the Lord which dwelleth in Zion, and declare among the people his doings. Psalm 24 and verse 7 says, lift up your head, O ye gates, be ye lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, even lift them up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. The greatest Old Testament title for deity you can find. The Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah of angels, Jehovah of cherubim, Jehovah of all the seraphs, Jehovah of hosts shall come in. Hallelujah. Lord, I know you've got an angel on the trail. I know you've sent angelic presence to help me. And every now and then, Lord, I know that they have come to my aid and my sustenance. And they've intervened between me and tragedy. I know that's true. But Lord, as I praise you tonight, I'm not going to be satisfied with an angel. Hallelujah to God. I'm not going to be satisfied with your glorious and marvelous imprint in nature. I'm not satisfied with a babbling brook or a baby smile. Lord, I want your presence tonight. The Lord of hosts shall come in. How many want Jehovah to come in? You want Jehovah to come in? Oh, hallelujah. He said he'll do it. Psalm 48 and 1. Great is the Lord. Greatness of the praise. In the city of God and the mountain of his holiness, great is the Lord. Psalms 113 and verse 3. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to know something tonight, folks. If we don't praise him, somebody will. He'll raise him up a bunch that'll praise him. Praise God. I said, praise God. I don't mind telling you, I'm a little bit jealous. I'd think it would be the tragedy of the age for me to know what I've known as long as I've known it, and then miss out on the climax of this victorious church. Hallelujah. How many want to be in on restoration? Glory. A restored church is a church that knows how to praise. Psalms 117 and verse 1. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Aren't you glad we got the same thing today that they had in the year 1? The year 33? The year 35? Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah to God. Oh, glory. That marvelous fire fell. And I can just see Peter and John and the others gathered there in that room, wherever it was. Some say it was the upper room, some say it was the temple. I could care less. You can fuss about those kind of things if you want to. Some say it took 7 days, and others said it took 10. Heard a guy the other day said it took 3. I don't know how long it took. It seems to me, counting time, it appears it probably was 7. So what if it was 10 or 3? I don't care. The fact is, it did. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. And I can see Simon Peter looking over and laughing at John. John looked back and smiled at Peter, you know. And Peter said, John, what you smiling about, boy? John says, Simon, you got flames of fire dancing in your hair. And Peter said, John, you don't have anything to be so glim about and smug about. You got them in your own head. And they looked up and the rafters were on fire. And about that time they heard a heave and a sigh and a wail. And then the whirring of a cyclone. And the power of God came in that place. And they staggered out of that room like drunk men. And the marvelous influence of that glorious first and unspeakable first century revival began to spread across the then known world. And it caught the nap of the wind about 100 A.D. and sailed up yonder to Europe. And it stayed up there for a long time through the Dark Ages. And then long about the 1600s, it caught a boat, glory to God, and sailed the ocean blue and settled yonder in Plymouth Rock. Hallelujah! Our Puritan fathers came to the New World. And the first thing they did was had a prayer meeting. Glory to God. And the modern holiness movement was born in the hearts and loins of John Wesley. And that beloved brother would take his Greek Testament and go into the woods and stay for days without food. And there he would speak in what he called an unknown tongue, not knowing what had happened to him. But that great Methodist father was full of this great experience. And then he anointed and brushed his influence off on the man Asbury. And Asbury got on his horse and rode all over Mississippi and all over Alabama and all over Georgia and all over Tennessee and all over Kentucky. And every place he stopped, he built a Methodist church. That's why there's so many in the South. Francis Asbury, an unspeakable missionary to the New World. Glory be to God. Young Asbury and old Wesley were gathered one day in Savannah, Georgia, and they were sleeping on a wooden floor. It was about 9 o'clock at night, and Asbury, a young man, was full of enthusiasm, and old white-headed John said, Francis, roll over and go to sleep. We've got to get up at 4 a.m. and get about the business of building more churches. And of course, John Wesley used to get up at 4, you see. He did all of his life. From 4 until 8, he prayed every day. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the fire came to America? Oh, yes, the wind brought it in. And it began to burn in the blue grass of Kentucky. And it went up the Ohio River in those brown county knobs of southern Indiana. And it caught the nap of the wind and went down the Mississippi and spread across the southeast, across the red clay hills of Alabama, and in the grassy plains of Oklahoma and Texas, until it reached the west coast. It burned America up. Glory be to God. And it has come to us tonight. Can you say praise God? The truth of the Lord endureth forever. That's why I praise Him. That's why I love Him. Amen. 146th Psalm opens up with praise the Lord. And it closes with praise the Lord. 147th Psalm opens up with praise ye the Lord and closes with praise the Lord. 148th Psalm opens up with praise the Lord and closes with praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 149th Psalm opens up with praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Some precious old saints. Young saints, too, I guess. You know how it is in the modern church. The old folks have been around so long, they just walk in and go to their routine pew and sit down in the grooves they've made in the pew. And don't dare get in that pew. You'll have to have major church business. Amen. Isn't that right? And so they come in, They flopped down. And eventually they convinced a few young folks to come in, and they come in and flop down beside the old folks. And before long, the whole church is flopped. Amen. And so we get up and make our testimonies, and some folks, you can tell what they're going to testify about before they get up, because they've said the identical same words for the last 75 years. Amen. Right? How about let's praise the Lord in a new song? Let's get a little unction in our praises. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let the children of God, the Bible says, sing praise. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Everybody say dance. Boy, when I learned about this, I had a spell. I was raised in traditional Pentecost. If you don't know what that is, then you have to feel sorry for me. Traditional Pentecost is as sectarian and denominational as the Baptist, the Methodist, the Church of Christ, or anybody else. Matter of fact, I believe it's even worse. It's as hard to get out of as... it's just hard to get out of. It's hard to get out of as poor old Briar Rabbit had difficulty getting out of that tar. Amen. It's difficult, I'll tell you. And I suppose I'll be haunted with some of the things that were ground in me by the traditional views so long as I shall live. Nevertheless, I always thought, and I was always instructed, that when you do anything a little bit out of the way, the Lord's got to come down on you in a supernatural sort of way. And you get in the spirit, they say. And then you do a little shine. Well, hallelujah. If we've got Bible for playing this piano with our eyes open, using music that was written by somebody that's not a member of our church. Hello. If we've got Bible for sitting out in the congregation and singing out loud, moving our mouths, does the Holy Ghost come down and move your chin for you? When you received the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues, did God take your tongue? No, your muscles moved your tongue. You did the talking. He gave the utterance. That's right. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. He gave you the utterance. You did the talking. What am I saying to you, brothers and sisters in Christ? I'm saying this. You can praise the Lord in the dance. With your eyes open. Hallelujah. You can just jump up and down and have all that you want. Glory be to God. And I'll guarantee you the same experience of clapping your hands is involved in jumping up and down. All you're doing is moving your feet. Say amen. Or running the aisle. And if you get enough liberty just to jump. Now, some folks, you know, that personality won't let them run. I won't let them, you know, really get with it. I'd like to get with it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, personality won't let them do that. But glory to God, everybody can jump up and down. Hallelujah. I know a church that's got 1,400 folks in it. And they all dance and praise God in the dance. I can just see 1,400 folks jumping up and down. Glory to God. You get enough liberty to do that, folks, and you got some liberty. Say amen. Praise the Lord in the dance. Dance in the spirit unto the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord in the dance. Hallelujah to God. Everybody said amen. Aren't you glad you found that out? I'm so glad I found that out. Found that out. Found that out. I've been having fun ever since then. I used to be one of those guys that, you know, has to be in a real noisy service and in a big bunch of folks. And then all of a sudden, I'd get the Pentecostal jerk. And I'd say, the Lord's moving on me. I got to do some dancing. Hallelujah. Isn't that unspeakable? God help us, saints. Everybody said amen. Praise the Lord in the dance. A legitimate, biblical, scriptural way to praise the Lord. Let them sing praises unto Him with a cymbal and harp. Let the Lord take His praise and His people. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and two-edged sword in their hands. To execute upon vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Everybody said amen. Can I do a little preaching? Now I'm going to close. Just a minute. I haven't been preaching an hour yet. That good? I'm going to close before 9 o'clock. Don't anybody get nothing. Oh, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and two-edged sword in their hands. High praises in their mouth. Two-edged sword in their hands. Hallelujah. You praise God out of spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the high praises of God be in the mouth and two-edged sword in the hands. Why? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Did you know that I'm speaking to you tonight, and while I'm speaking to you, there are a lot of demons in this place trying to totally destroy every spiritual plateau that can possibly be built in this place tonight. There are demons of doubt and demons of frustration and demons of negative thinking and demons of pessimism. There are demons of unbelief and demonic influences of sleep. There are drowsy demons, all kinds of unspeakable low-down satanic influences that's trying to destroy and frustrate everything that God is attempting to do in your heart tonight. Hallelujah. To execute vengeance upon the king. Who's the king? That's Satan. Hallelujah. And punishments upon the people. I believe that's his demonic influences. His darkened, fallen, angelic host. Oh, hallelujah. Let the high praises of God be. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah over there, and the glory to God down here in the front. And thank you, Jesus, over here, and glory be to Jesus, and hallelujah, and praise the Lord, and victory in Jesus, and praise the Lord, and hallelujah to God, and another one, and another one, and another one, and not just out of your lips or out of your throat, but right down out of your spirit. Hallelujah, flowing through your soul and through your flesh, and demonstrating itself out your mouth, and it flows and mingles itself with the praises of the other saints of God. Hallelujah. Mingles itself. Makes about 4 or 5 laps around this building. And it just mixes in volume, mixes in influence and enthusiasm and vigor and vim and vitality and faith. And about that time, a white-robed angel dips down and catches the corner of that praise under his wing. And he sets out for the glory world. Hallelujah to God. And he flies past the moon and the sun and the stars. And he tiptoes across the milky white way. He waves by to the man in the moon and on his way to the glory world, to the center of God's presence. And he gets to that holy city, the New Jerusalem, and knocks upon the great door. And the archangel standing there in the audience of the Most High says, "Who is it?" "It is the attending angel of the church down in Tuscumbia, Alabama." "What have you brought?" "I have brought a vial of praise unto the master." And the angel is given orders immediately. "Let him in." And the angel walks in and folds his wings across his face, for he cannot appear in an unholy manner before the throne of God. And the Most High God says, "What is it?" And the angel says, "I have brought a vial of praise from your beloved that are down yonder upon that fallen planet." The angel says, "I do not know why, but they have done this
And for a moment I'd take a little break and say, Angel, I summons you back to this place. Come upon this red carpet and sit upon this table. I want to talk to you a minute. The angel says, I don't understand why you people have jumped up and down and waved your hands and hollered till your voices are hoarse. I don't understand why you've said glory to God and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, like you have. I don't understand that. You see, they're wanting to look into this business. They can't truly understand that they're of a different order than we are. And so I set the angel down there for a moment and I say, now listen to me, I'm going to give you a lesson. I know you'll never understand it in the fullness, but I'm going to tell you why I do it. Do you know something, angel? Not long ago, I was bent over, bruised, lacerated, and browbeat by the devil. I had weights upon my shoulders and I could not straighten my back. I could not lift my gaze above a 45-degree angle. Everywhere I looked, I was looking in the dirt. There was nothing I could lift my head about. I couldn't look up. I had nothing that I could be happy about. And then one day, somebody told me about Jesus. Glory be to God. And the power of love divine and the holy influence of mercy. It dipped its unspeakable arms down and brushed the load off of my shoulders. Hallelujah to God. I didn't deserve it. I didn't want it. He came to me anyway. Hallelujah. I didn't love him. He loved me. And he sought me and found me. And when he found me, he picked me up and fondled me and embraced me. And he wiped away the tears. And he rushed off the blemishes. And he bathed me in his blood. And filled me with his spirit. And put a hope in my heart. And now I'm a dancing and a running. Glory be to God. That's why I'm shouting. That's why I'm hollering victory. That's why I'm shouting hallelujah. Now you go on back up yonder and take care of your business. Angel says, Lord, I've brought a vial of praise. And the Lord says, untap that vial. And the angel reaches over and takes that golden cork from that vial. And ascending into the nostrils of the Lord goes the hallelujahs and the glory to God and the praise the Lord and the thank you Jesuses that came out of hearts that had been justified by faith and filled with the Holy Ghost and sanctified through love, that had been filled with the Word of God and the holy promises of the Most High. And they began to bathe His presence with hallelujahs and glory to God. And the Lord looked at it, and a smile came across His unspeakable countenance. And He said, Angel, go yonder to the treasure vault in the sky and open it up and take out the golden chains. And the angel walks over and takes out the chains. And as the Lord breathes in the hallelujahs, He's so satisfied with the love of His people. And the angel is given the command, drop the chains upon that service. And as we send up the hallelujahs, the chains come descending out of the throne of God. Hallelujah to God. Whatever they do, they begin to bind every devil that's in this place. Glory to God. Binding them over here and binding them there and binding them there and binding them up here. Bind them in the piano and bind them at the back and bind them over there and bind them there. And before long there's not a demon or a devil or an unspeakable demonic influence that has any power or has any authority in this whole place. Glory be to God. And before all, you can imagine the power of God inundates this place. Can you imagine what it would be like to have 5 minutes without a devil? Can you imagine what it would be like to have 5 minutes without a demon? Can you imagine what it would be like to have 5 minutes of uninterrupted praise without a satanic influence or a diabolic scheme? Glory be to God! There wouldn't be anybody leave here sick. There wouldn't be anybody leave here bound. There wouldn't be anybody leave here unsaved. There wouldn't be anybody leave here without the Holy Ghost. Everybody get what they need. Brother Sharp, who has this right? Apostles and prophets? Preachers and teachers, elders and deacons, read the next verse. With honor have all his saints. Hallelujah. Are you a saint? When you were born again, you became a saint. Hallelujah to God. The saints aren't figures in the cathedral. The saints aren't little figurines up and down the halls of the basilica. Hallelujah to God. The saints are breathing, born again, children of the Most High God. And saints, all we need to do tonight is forget what our name is and where we're going to go and what we're going to do. And start loving God right out of our hearts. If you really want to see a demonstration of the Holy Ghost, you just build the Lord a little house. Hallelujah to God. He'll come down and live in your praise. He'll inhabit this place. It'll be the most holy thing you've ever seen in all of your life. Glory be to God. I wonder, could we stand to our feet, lift our heads, our hands, our hearts, and our voices, and begin to love Him and praise Him and magnify Him? Could we do that? Hallelujah.